The following program is made possible by the friends and partners of Andrew Womack Ministries. Thank you for changing the world.
Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Tuesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm continuing a series that I started yesterday, The War is Over. And I really believe that this teaching is going to shake you up. And if there is any religious misconceptions in you, I guarantee you this will challenge them and it will help bring you to a brand new level with the Lord. Of course, we also have this in CD format. And then we've produced a study guide. And as you can tell, this is a very thick study guide. What this is it's the same teaching, except it has questions, a place where you ask questions, you write in, fill them in, then there's an answer key, and there's just things that guide you through this in a way that help you to study it in a more in-depth way. And there's also a CD-ROM in here that you can actually take this book and print out each lesson so that if you were teaching a Bible study or a Sunday school class, you could give copies of this lesson to every single person. And it just facilitates you being able to lead a study group. And so I am really excited about this, and I encourage you to get these materials. Now, yesterday I was using Luke chapter 2, where the angels appeared unto the shepherds at the birth of Jesus, and I read that whole thing yesterday. I want to just go back to one verse in Luke 2:14. Here's part of what these angels sang. They said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." And I spent the program yesterday trying to dispel the traditional interpretation of this. Most people believe that this is a prophecy that there is now going to be peace among men, and that is not true. And Jesus said over in Matthew chapter 10, I believe it's around verse 34, says, "Don't think that I came to send peace on the earth. I did not come to send peace, but division." And so Jesus himself showed that his purpose in coming to earth was not to bring peace among men. And you can look around, and for the last 2,000 years since the advent of Jesus on this earth, wars have not ceased. Strife between people hasn't stopped. And so this is not what the angels were singing about. They were not singing about peace among men, but I began to declare yesterday that this was the announcement that the war between God and men was over. That God's hostility, anger towards mankind because of our sin, was about to be totally eradicated. He was going to place all of His wrath upon His Son, Jesus. And as a result, now there, Jesus ushered in a period of peace where there is this peace treaty that's been signed between God and man. Now, that is a radical statement. And as a whole, the body of Christ today does not believe that. The body of Christ believes that there might be a lessening of hostilities between God and man, but the war isn't over, that there is still problems. And every time we sin, God will either punish us overtly. Some people teach that God just zaps you and kills people. Matter of fact, I talked to a woman this last week. I held a meeting, and a woman came up to me and said that she was going to a church, but because she wasn't doing something, and I forget now the details, but it was something like she wasn't tithing or she just wasn't being a good church member according to the standards that were put down there. The people came to her and prophesied that God was going to kill her children if she didn't straighten up and start doing whatever they said. And anyway, this woman for over a decade wouldn't go to church. She turned her back on God, turned her back on the church because here people were saying that God was going to punish her. God was going to kill somebody She didn't straighten up. There's a large number of people in the body of Christ today to believe that God is punishing people and killing people. And she said that for over a decade, she had gone away from God, knowing in her heart that God still existed, but not wanting a relationship with Him, or especially not wanting a relationship with His people, if that's the way that He was. And then she heard me teaching that God is not the one who puts problems in your life, that God is a good God, that the war is over. She heard me say this, and she had come back to the Lord, and she was giving me a testimony now of how she was back in church and how her relationship with God was just doing better than it had ever done. But I tell you, see, there's people saying that God will punish you. God will kill. There are people that say that the reason this baby was born with Down syndrome is because this is God's punishment. You did something wrong. There was sin in your life. And this isn't just unique to our day and age. You can turn over to the book of John. I think it's chapter 9, and you find that there was a man who was blind from birth. And the disciples of Jesus said, "Who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" It's the exact same thing. This was going on. People just suppose that the tragedies that happen in our life is all orchestrated by God and it's God's punishment. Or there are some Christians who have twisted this to where they say, "Oh, it's not a punishment. God is doing this because He loves you." That this miscarriage caused you to just be so broken that you turned to God. And so they're saying that actually that when God kills somebody, it's because of His great love for you that He killed your child or did this or did that. In a way, that's even more perverse because it somehow or another tries to call something that is bad good, which I believe it's Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20 says that this is a sign of the last days that they will call that which is good evil and evil good. And that's being done all throughout our society. But there's a large segment of Christianity that is saying that when rape and murder and mayhem happens, that it's God controlling it and God does it because He loves you and this is helping perfect you. And that's worse to me. That's more offensive than anything else. That's not true. But anyway, that any time religious people portray that God is killing somebody, punishing you with these terrible things, or if they say that God won't answer your prayers, He may not overtly punish you and do something bad, but God won't respond. He'll just turn the other way and He'll let you stew in your juice. He's going to let you sit there and suffer and go on because you aren't perfect, because you aren't worthy. All of those kind of statements are representing that there is still hostility from God towards us because of their sin. But what these angels were proclaiming was that the war was over, that God's wrath was going to be totally satisfied through Jesus. And as I go through this series, it's going to take me a number of weeks to do it. I'm going to show you so many things from Scripture that show you that God's wrath has been forever satisfied. God is not punishing you. God is not the author of these tragedies, hurricanes, terrorist attacks, the tragedies that happen nationally or the tragedies that happen in our individual lives are not God. God is not punishing you. The war is over. God's wrath is satisfied. Now, there's still tragedy happening, but it's because we have an enemy out there and we willingly cooperate with him. Sometimes we do it and cause direct things that we do cause tragedy in our life. Other times, it's just the fact that we live in a fallen world. And when you live in a fallen world, there's going to be bad things happen. But it's not God doing it. You know, let me use this example. I've got an actual printout from a website, and I've asked my web people if they would put this on our website. So if you want to go research this more, I've got about a 3 or 4 page article that gives all of the details. But in 1944, there was this Japanese soldier, lieutenant, and I'm probably going to mess up his name. I'm sorry, but, you know, Texans just don't do much except talk Texan. Amen. But this is my best attempt at this. It was Lieutenant Hiro Onoda. And this man was commissioned by the Japanese Army to go out and lead these guerrilla bands. And he was over 4 men, and they were supposed to live undercover. They taught them how to live off of the land. And he was specifically given a command not to surrender to anybody except the person who sent him out. And so he was sent to a remote Philippine island of Lubang. And anyway, when the end of World War II came, he was sent out and arrived on this Philippine island shortly before the end of World War II. They flew over. They announced in English and Japanese that the war was over. They dropped leaflets. He heard a number of things, but he thought that it was a ploy by the Allied troops to get the Japanese to come out in the open, and then they were going to either kill them or arrest them. So he and his unit that he was with resisted for 29 years after the end of World War II. And it wasn't until March the 19th, 1972, that this Lieutenant Hiro Onoda surrendered. And here's my point, that this man was fighting a war that was over. He was living in hardship. There actually, I forget, you could read the article on our website, as I said. They're going to put this on our website, and you can go read the total article. But he killed a number of people. He and his troops would go kill Filipino soldiers, and I think that there were some civilians. And they were still fighting a war, and they were living off the land. They were basically eating bananas and the fruit that grew naturally. They lived under extreme hardship. And can you imagine that for 29 years after the end of World War II, there was still a small group of Japanese soldiers on this Filipino island of Lubang that were fighting a war that was over. They never went back, saw their family. They were living without all of the advantages of their family and the things that could have come. You know, after the war, Japan began to prosper. He could have been a very prosperous man. All these things could have happened. And yet for 29 years, he lived in hardship. There was tremendous pain and suffering, being separated from his family and all of those things. And he was fighting a war that was over. And I just want to say to you that basically the body of Christ today has been fighting a war that was over 2,000 years ago. Yes, there was hostility between God and man because of man's sins. And there's a number of scriptures. You know, I'm not going to take time to turn over and read all of these, but in Isaiah chapter 59, the scripture there says that my hand isn't shortened that it cannot save, nor my ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. And as you go on and read, it's just talking about that God is saying, because you've done this, man, here is God's wrath. Here is punishment. And there are so many examples. You can see the land of Sodom and Gomorrah, that because of their homosexuality, the wrath of God fell and that place was destroyed. And even though God spared Lot and his wife and his two daughters, his wife turned around and looked behind her, and God told her not to do that. So that was sin. She disobeyed, and instantly she was turned to a pillar of salt. You can see that when the children of Israel were brought out of the land of Egypt, that God's wrath fell upon the Egyptians, and there were these 10 plagues. And terrible things happened. And finally, the firstborn of every man and animal that was not in covenant with God was destroyed. And you can see the Egyptians destroyed in the Red Sea in Exodus chapter 14, and on and on and on we could go. And there are just so many examples. There was an angel that went out during the days of Sennacherib, a king over Syria, who came against Hezekiah, king of Israel. And an angel went out and killed, I think it was 185 or 186,000 people in one night. Man, that was wrath. That was war. There was this terrible, terrible wrath from God towards men. And of course, under the old covenant, people were able to have a limited relationship with God. God blessed them to a degree. But even like David, who was one of the great men of God in the Old Testament, and he had a covenant with God, and he was mightily used of God and was a man after God's own heart. But when he sinned, even though he was one of God's people and the leader of God's people, still the wrath of God came upon David, and his son had to die as a result of his sin. And then terrible things happened in his own household, and children were killed, and there was punishment, and there was hostility from God, even towards those who were in relationship with him. And you know, because of this being so prevalent and so obvious in the Old Testament, a lot of New Testament people are still thinking that things are the same way that they were under the Old Covenant. They think that we have a limited relationship with God. But they don't believe that the war is over. They still believe that when they sin, when they mess up, either God punishes them overtly with some terrible tragedy happening in their life, or God just turns a deaf ear and turns his back towards them, and they have to suffer with the results of their own things because God won't answer their prayers if there's any sin in their life. And I know that what I'm saying right here, many of you are saying, well, what's wrong with that? Isn't that the way that it is? No, the war is over. As I go through this, I'm going to be making this much stronger, but I just want to say up front that God placed all of His wrath upon Jesus. He punished Jesus. He put every bit of wrath and anger that He has in Him upon Jesus. And Jesus suffered our punishment so that between you and God, me and God, there is no wrath left. If you are a born-again Christian, God is not upset with you. God is not imputing your trespasses unto you. Now, I'm going to deal with this in more detail, but I just need to say this because I know that what I'm saying is so radical that there's some people that are going to reject this and say, man, you're just totally off the wall. How can you get by with saying things like this? Let me just give you a couple of scriptures, and I'll go into more detail on this. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says in verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God, who hath, past tense, reconciled us. The word reconciled means to make friendly. This is talking about that the war is over, the hostility, the anger. His rejection of us is over. He hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. This should be what the church is preaching today. Sad to say, it's not. The church as a whole is saying that the war is still on. Now, you can come to the Lord and get born again, and He will give you a limited peace. He won't send you to hell, and in heaven things will be great. But here on this earth, you're still going to get punished every time you do something wrong, that there's still hostility. That's what the church as a whole is preaching. But we should be saying, no, that the war is over. He hath reconciled us. This is not only what God has done, but this is the message that we should be preaching. And in verse 19, it says, to it, that's old English for that is, or to know, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. This reconciliation took place in Christ 2,000 years ago. This isn't just something that's going to take place in eternity in the future. It's already done. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Now, this is how God reconciled man unto Himself. This is how God brought harmony. That's what the word reconcile means, is to harmonize. Or you could say to make friendly. The way that God reconciled us unto Himself was He did not impute our sins unto us. The word impute, if you look it up in the Greek, it's actually like an accounting term. It means to put on the records or to put on the books, to record against you. It would be similar to us using a credit card. If you gave your credit card and they took all the information, but then they never charged your account, it never was imputed unto you, that would be the same thing. You know, one time I held a meeting in Arlington, Texas, and I put $3,500 worth of charges for the meeting room on a credit card, and the lady who handled our meeting was fired the next week, and she never did impute that to us. She never put it on the books. I gave her the information. We had done our part, but she never charged us. And finally, 6 months later, when the bill never came through, we contacted them and told them, and man, all of a sudden, they imputed it unto us. You know what? And I thought they were a little rotten because they got mad and wanted to charge us interest and stuff, and we could have just let it go, but you know what? They didn't put it on the books. That's what it's talking about. The word impute, when it says that He imputed not He didn't impute their trespasses means that God isn't even taking account of your trespasses. God is not judging you over sin. If you've been born again, your sins were judged in Jesus. It was imputed unto Him. It's like if I was to go buy something and I got up to the counter and then all of a sudden somebody else steps in and says, here, use my card. You know what? Everything, every charge would be imputed unto that other person. And they wouldn't give me anything. Even though there had to be a payment made, somebody else is making the payment. And if the company that I was buying things from said, well, even though they paid for it, you are the one that got the merchandise, and so therefore you ought to pay something. And if they gave me some kind of a service charge, or if they charged me a late fee or whatever, you know what? That'd be totally wrong. You would be justified to go and complain because, no, the payment was made. Maybe whether you made it or not, somebody else, all of my charges were imputed to somebody else. All of my sin was imputed unto Jesus. And therefore, God is not imputing those sins unto me. And that's what this is talking about. That God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. We should be preaching this same thing. We should be telling people that your sins have been paid for. Jesus bore your sins. God is not mad at you. God is not ticked off. He's not even in a bad mood. God is not holding your sins against you. And I know that this is against religion. I was raised in religion. I've had a sin consciousness, just the same as all of you who are so upset with what I'm saying right now. But if you could just listen, if you would get these materials that we're offering, if you will listen to my television programs, I'm going to go through and show you through so many scriptures that Jesus paid for your sins, and He didn't just pay a portion of it, and so you've got to pay some kind of a little bit of a service charge. There has to be some punishment. There has to be some, broken relationship between you and God every time you sin. If you say that, then you, in effect, are saying Jesus didn't pay at all. He only paid a portion. He paid 90%. You've got to pay 10%. I'm saying, no, Jesus paid it all. Jesus paid it all. And it goes on to say in this next verse, 2 Corinthians 5:20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. For He, God the Father, made Him, Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. Jesus didn't just take a little bit of sin. He became sin. He took the wrath of God. The war is over. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill from God towards you. If you haven't yet accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, then you need to do that to get in on this covenant and experience this peace. If you have accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, then I'm telling you that regardless of what you've thought, regardless of what your conscience has condemned you over, God isn't mad. The war is over. God is a good God, and you have a access and relationship to God that most of us haven't taken advantage of. We're like this Japanese soldier. We are still living under the hardships of war when the truth is the war is over. Praise God. I want to encourage you to continue to listen to these programs, and also please get our materials because this is going to change your life. I really believe that. We have a number on your screen. I encourage you to call, listen to our announcer, and then call or write today. And join me again tomorrow for the Gospel Truth.
Andrew's complete teaching series titled The War Is Over is available on either CD or on DVD as seen on our daily TV program. Each is offered for a gift of any amount. Remember to specify the CD or DVD when you order. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. If you prefer, the War Is Over series is available in book form when you send a gift of any amount. A Spanish version is also available. You can also get this teaching in a companion study guide for a gift of $35 or more when you contact the ministry. The first audio teaching in today's series is available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this first CD titled Peace and Goodwill, free of charge. We'd like to remind you that we're offering Andrew's latest book titled Effortless Change for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be at Life Church West in Allentown, Pennsylvania on Saturday, December 18th, at the Life Church main campus in Allentown on Sunday, December 19th, and in Phoenix, Arizona for a Gospel Truth Seminar January 6th through the 8th. He'll also be at Living Word Bible Church in Mesa, Arizona on Sunday, January 9th, in Colorado Springs, Colorado for the Caris Bible College Men's Advance January 20th through the 22nd, and in Houston, Texas for a Gospel Truth Seminar February 10th through the 12th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
John chapter 14, verse 1. The very first thing that Jesus told his disciples, he says, "Let not your heart be troubled."
When I looked into his face, I saw his eyes flittering. And so I yelled at him and I says, "You are not going to leave me."
Next thing I know, I'm down in the emergency room at the stroke center in Harris Methodist in Fort Worth.
One third of Alan's brain had not received blood.
The MRI scan of the brain showed a massive stroke.
They told me he was paralyzed on the left side. They told me that he could not swallow. They told me he could not speak.
They were saying he's going to need a stomach tube to be fed the rest of his life.
We were not very optimistic about the outcome.
We had spent that time in Christian survival. We had spent that time in harnessing your emotions. And I was harnessing my emotions. I was completely under control. And that's what disturbed the doctors the most. They were not going to speak death over him, because his life was in the balance. And I knew the truth, and the truth was going to set him free. And I knew it. I knew it would set everything free.
For a complete report on this story, go to awmi.net and click on today's news feature. Invest yourself in Andrew Womack Ministries today.